to another episode of Grumpy Old Game Men and Their Dogs. It is episode 116, day 136 here in the Zen Room. My name is Patrick Finn, and I am here with the spectacled Tommy Gibbons.
Hello, bitches.
And how are you tonight, Tommy?
Well, tonight I feel positively youthful.
Youthful?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because I am sitting across from you and John Steele.
Yes, we have a special guest tonight here tonight, John Steele.
Hi, everyone.
And with a view like that, I can't help but feel youthful.
John's still the prettier one, though.
Thanks.
It's like I'm talking to Waldorf and Statler.
What'd you think of that, sir?
I didn't.
Thought I'd wake you from your nap.
So what's new with you, Thomas?
Nothing. I just saw that, and I could have died without seeing you two do a Statler and Waldorf unrehearsed. That was pretty. Otherwise, fine.
You're fine?
Just fine. You know, another day above ground.
Oh, cool. It's always a good thing.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Right?
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, Stephen and I have been very busy. We had auditions for the musical Reefer Madness this weekend.
Reefer Madness.
Yep, that's the one.
I don't know it.
You don't know the show?
I've never seen it.
Have you ever seen the original movie from the 1930s?
I have not.
Ah, you should see that first, and then see the musical.
Yeah. It's like a government warning against...
That's what it basically is. It's an anti-marijuana movie made back in the 30s.
It's a parody.
And it's so ridiculous.
Of course. Okay, you know? Good.
Yeah, so that was good. Now we're getting ready for this Saturday night. We have a ladies' comedy night at South Shore Theater Experience.
Oh, are they allowed to do comedy?
Yes, they are. All comedians are created equal.
Okay. I just thought it was still like, you know, men only. Well, no. I do. I listen to Sarah Millican. I like her.
If you want to hear something funny, listen to, it's been on YouTube, comedian Nikki Glaser at the roast for Tom Brady. They say she basically stole the show, that she was the best one of the night.
Can I ask
you a
question?
Oh my God, but she's fucking hysterical.
What is going on with this roast of Tom Brady? There's all sorts of first of all, why are you roasting Tom Brady? Isn't he like a football player?
Yes, but he's considered the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay, so they're going to gather together to give him this roast.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what they did.
And they roasted him.
Yes, they did.
What's to roast?
Obviously, they found stuff.
Well, there's this divorce that went on with Gisele Bündchen.
Okay.
There's Deflategate, when his team... was caught deflating the size of the balls.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody would do that, but the first wife you said,
Gisele Bündchen.
I think one of the things that I heard was just headlines. You know, it just kept coming up because I was like, I don't give a fuck. But it just kept coming.
It was a live event on Netflix,
and people are pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Some of the jokes people are pissed off about.
Well, because he came out and made a statement that he regrets doing it because it affected his children.
That was recently.
That was in today's headlines. And I read that and I was like, you know, obviously Tom Brady in his entire lifetime has never seen a comedy roast.
Yeah.
Because we know what those comedy roasts are like. They can get nasty. They can get obscene.
I have the whole Dean Martin roast collection.
And those are the clean ones. Yeah. And they were brutal, too.
Yeah.
But now you have all these other roasts are going on because they started on Comedy Central. Yeah. And they're brutal and they're dirty. So he had to know what to expect before he went on this show.
Which was my original question. Why is he there? Why are we roasting Tom Brady? You know, how do you make him funny? What is okay? So yeah, he's got two wives.
She found plenty to make fun of after she made fun of all the other comedians there.
Yeah,
and she made fun of other football players there. She was great. I definitely recommend watching that.
What's her name?
Nikki Glaser.
Why is that familiar to me, too?
Because she's a popular comedian. I think she has a new Netflix special on, too.
Sarah Millican. There's a woman from the South who's very funny.
Okay. Be more vague.
I think it's the South.
Okay.
That's as vague as I can be.
South United States or South America?
No, South... I think... Move on!
We haven't even started.
Just shut up and move on.
And just to let our listeners out there know ahead of time, this is going to be a two-part episode.
Woohoo!
Because I had to take off for Tech Week for our upcoming show, Operation Volkswagen and South Shore Theater Experience. But I had forgotten that there's another week before that. So we're going to split this episode in two. We'll play the other half next week. Then we're taking off the following week for Tech Week, and then we'll be back in June.
And it's June and January.
What's January?
Never mind.
Okay. So that's the story. Shall we move on then? Would you care to move on?
Please.
Bring on lesbians! Thank you, ladies! Anyway, tonight in Heavy Petting, we have the results of the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show.
That was this week.
Yes, it was. And they picked a winner last night.
Isn't it usually like Thanksgiving or
New
Christmas?
Year's Day?
Yes. Yeah.
No, I always remember it being held in the spring.
The Westminster, it's the American.
The American Kennel Club?
Kennel Club, yeah, I think it's them that are in January.
So this is the...
Westminster Kennel Club.
Westminster. So that implies British.
I'm assuming it originated there, yes.
The Westminster Kennel Club.
So the winner of Best in Show was Sage, the miniature poodle.
Let me see.
And that is a picture of Sage.
That's very poodle.
There's another picture.
Yes.
That's some haircut on it.
That's beautiful.
It's amazing looking. It really is.
From the side, from the front, it looks... Poor dog.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All the little poofs and all that. Yeah.
They have a meaning. Every one of those things has a, like...
I don't know, but...
Well, no, it's for when the dog goes in the water. It's to keep those particular... If you look at where the fur is...
Do they act as flotation devices?
No, you ass of life. They help keep those joints warm.
Really?
In the water, yes.
I did not know that.
No, because you're an ass.
Well, thank you very much. But Sage is the fourth miniature poodle to have won the Westminster Best in Show.
They fuck everything. Poodles will fuck anything. I saw a poodle with a schnoodle. It was called.
A schnoodle?
A schnauzer
and a poodle?
And a poodle. Yeah.
That's odd.
I gotta stop doing that beforehand.
The poodle will fuck anything.
Right.
So what's next?
We now move on to our Dictionary of Dogs, our Canine Compendium, and we are up to the letter H.
H. Husky.
No.
Halibut.
No.
Hawaiian. Coconut dog.
No, that would be wrong also. Well, that'd be a very interesting looking dog.
Hamburg. Hungary. Handle.
Shall I just tell you?
Yeah, sure.
The name of the dog is the Hamilton Stovari, or the Hamilton Hound.
Yeah, I would have come up with that. So, it's the Hamilton dog. Last week it was the Brazilian dog. Like, never mind.
Well, this was a breed of dog that was bred in the 19th century by Count Adolf Hamilton. Hence the name of the dog. And he first showed two of the dogs at an 1886 dog show.
And what did the dogs do?
They're basically hunting dogs. They are bred to hunt hare and fox. They're specifically bred not to hunt deer.
Can I see one?
Yes, you can. That is a Hamilton Stovari.
Okay, that's a very nice looking dog.
Right?
Very majestic.
Yeah, yeah, it's really got a great
I like the
stance there.
Why would
yeah, the coloring is excellent on
how
it.
How
right?
big is it?
It is 21 to 24 inches tall and weighs between 50 and 60 pounds and has a muscular frame. It has a short, dense coat that is tri-colored, usually featuring a combination of black, tan, and white markings. And it has an acute sense of smell that allows it to excel in most hunting tasks.
It looks kind of houndish.
They form a strong bond with family members and is generally good with kids. However, the breed can be stubborn, so it's important to train the dog early.
All right. Get out there. Throw that ball.
Yeah, it's a good looking dog.
I wonder if he raps.
If it what?
If he raps.
What do you mean? Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, it was.
That's what I'm here for.
Thanks.
I bet they're the cutest puppies. Because they got that, like, Snoopy dog hound.
Let me see what the puppies look like. Here we go. Oh, look how cute that is. Yeah.
Very adaptable, man.
Oh, my God, yeah, right?
Yeah, Louis, the first picture I saw of Louis was similar to that.
Really?
Yeah. And then he turned into Louis. But actually, Louis is visible, and it's just a puppy, and he's sitting up right now. But you could see the need for revenge. This puppy. I'm gonna go ahead, keep going.
We now move on to our next segment.
Happy birthday. Many happy returns. A very happy birthday.
Yes, it's time for today's birthdays. And we have two birthdays to celebrate today, one living and one dead.
We're going 50-50.
Yes, we are.
I'll take living.
You want living first? Okay. She was born Lainey Levine in Brooklyn in May 15th, 1940. She attended Brooklyn's Erasmus High School with Barbara Streisand. She graduated from Hofstra University here on Long Island in 1960. While she was there, she appeared in school musicals written and directed by fellow classmate Francis Ford Coppola. She made her Broadway debut in 1961 with the musical The Happiest Girl in the World. She understudied Barbara Streisand for the lead role of Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl.
Lainey Kazan.
Lainey Kazan is correct. Very good. She actually played the role for two performances one day due to a throat infection that Barbara had.
Yeah, I heard like she never went on.
Yeah, only the one time. That was it, the one day. That was it. This is something new I didn't know. That she posed nude for the October 1970 issue of Playboy.
How'd it go?
I guess it went well. She seemed to be proud of it. In 1982, she appeared in the film My Favorite Year, playing Belle Mae Steinberg Carroca, who was the mother of the lead character, Benji.
Benji Carroca?
Yeah, well, no, his name was Benji Steinberg, but she got remarried.
Okay.
So she married a Japanese wrestler. His last name was Carroca.
I don't remember the movie that well. That was so long ago that I saw it.
Right. But. Well, anyway, she recreated the role in the 1992 Broadway adaptation, was nominated for Best Featured Actress in a Musical.
Good for her.
In the 1990s, she played Aunt Frieda on The Nanny.
Okay, yeah.
Would you like to see a clip of that?
Yeah. That actually was funny.
Oh, I have a little request from my darling Silvela, who's always been like an older sister to me.
I remember you. You're the one who made my dreams come true a few kisses ago. Thank you.
nice.
Yeah. Bette Midler does that song too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Bud Kazan also played the mother of Nia Vardalos in the My Big Fat Greek Wedding series of films.
She did do that.
This is something I did not know. In December 2017, outside a California supermarket, she was arrested for shoplifting.
Lady Kazan?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's scandal
right?
What happened?
Prosecutors reached a plea deal with her.
Okay, good.
So she probably did some community service or something. Right?
That's no sting for somebody.
But yeah, so that's the story of Lainey Kazan.
Did you know what she was? Do we know what she was shoplifting?
No, but I'm assuming since it's outside the supermarket.
Well, yeah, but it could be anything from.
Maybe it was a zucchini.
Maybe it was a zucchini. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let's stop here.
Move on. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Bring the next.
Yes. Our next birthday celebrant was born and raised in upstate New York on June 15th, 1856. He moves west after an unsuccessful stint as a theater producer and playwright. He and his wife later opened a store in South Dakota, and he edited and published a newspaper.
Jonathan Smith.
Nope. They then moved to Chicago, where he worked as a newspaper reporter and published children's literature. And in 1900, he came out with the first Wizard of Oz book.
So it's L. Frank Baum.
L. Frank Baum is correct. Do you know what the L stands for?
Luigi.
Yes, Luigi Frank Baum. Oh,
that's a good guess, though. Better than what I would say.
What were you going to say?
Larry? Yeah, I was going to say.
Larry Frank Baum.
Was it Lorraine?
Louis?
It was Lyman.
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 Okay, how do you spell Lyman?
L-Y-M-A-N.
Does it mean something? It sounds a little mean.
Just the name, I think. I don't know if it has any meaning behind it.
Everything has a meaning behind it, Patrick.
Does Thomas have a meaning behind it?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Thomas is the twins.
The twins? What's he talking about?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Kinda.
I don't.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
I'll give you something to Google after I'm gone. Which will be soon, right? Because we're going to move on here.
Anyway, he published 14 of the Oz books. He also wrote 41 other novels, 83 short stories, over 200 poems, and at least 42 scripts. He also made attempts to bring his work to stage and screen, and he even founded a film company at one point.
What was it called?
I don't know offhand.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Is he known for writing anything else? Like, there's nothing else I can think of that makes me say, oh, yeah, that's L. Frank Baum.
No, that's the Oz books are the most famous thing that he wrote.
Okay.
But he was married to the daughter of a suffragette, and he became a supporter of women's suffrage.
Would it be fair to say that without that movie, we wouldn't be right now celebrating his birthday because we wouldn't know who the fuck he is or why we care about him?
You mean without The Wizard of Oz?
Exactly.
Probably not.
Okay.
Okay? But we do know who he is.
Yeah.
So we're observing his birthday.
Okay, I'm just saying.
But is that okay?
It seems like you announced a whole lot of work that he did, hundreds of poems and scripts and
well, this way people know that he wrote more than just the Oz books, you know?
Right, because who asked?
I did.
Okay, there you go.
Anyway, while he deplored the conditions that American Indians were living in on reservations...
Well, how did we skip to American Indians?
Well, excuse me, I'm continuing the tale of L. Frank Baum.
All right.
If you let me continue, please.
Actually, if you don't mind, I'd like you to go back a sentence or two and catch me up. Could you give me my cue?
That he was married to the daughter of a suffragette.
That's right.
And he became a big supporter of the women's suffrage movement.
Okay. Good for him.
Okay.
Keep going.
Then, while he deplored the conditions that Native Americans were living in on reservations, he also wrote two editorials saying that the safety of white settlers dependent on the wholesale genocide of Native Americans.
Nice. Nice. Good guy. That's a good guy. Right there.
Of course,
we always find the dirt afterwards.
You have to take, but you have to take into account that back in the day, what did genocide really mean?
I don't think they had the word genocide back then.
I don't know. No,
that's I think that was a 20th century invention.
It's been around for years.
Yeah?
The word genocide?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't know. But that's the story of L. Frank Baum.
Well, that started on a real high and ended on a really bad down. Yeah, you know, you start, you give me
your... Oh, it's the Wizard of Oz.
With the Wizard of Oz. Exactly.
Between him and Lady Kazan arrested for shoplifting, it's like I'm destroying icons here.
L. Frank Baum wanted to, that's not what I want to say, advocated for the, what do I want to say? What's the word?
I don't know.
Genocide?
The genocide. The genocide of the Americans. American Indians.
Yes.
Yeah, openly.
Yes.
He said we should do that.
Yes, we should, for the safety of white settlers.
Okay.
Can I move on now?
I'll catch up.
All right, so to L. Frank Baum and to Lainey Kazan, we say...
Go fuck yourself, you retrograde. you could have done that, yeah.
We now move on to our next segment.
I like the cat screaming.
Yes, always a nice touch. Yeah. Anyway, we had one death this week for Bring Out Your Dead.
Not near enough.
He was born April 5th, 1926. He became known as a trailblazer in the world of independent films.
1926?
Yep, that's when he was born. He mentored and gave a start to many young film directors, including Francis Ford Coppola, Ron Howard, Martin Scorsese, Jonathan Demme, and Peter Bogdanovich, and James Cameron. He also helped to launch the careers of actors like Peter Fonda, Jack Nicholson, Dennis Hopper, Bruce Dern, Diane Ladd, and William Shatner.
I don't know who Bruce Dern is.
Jane Fonda's husband in Coming Home.
Yeah, and in a black and white film.
Shit, I can't think of the name of it now. Looks like
it's Laura Dern's father.
Okay.
The one with Cybill Shepherd.
Bill
Bruce Willis? Movie.
Oh,
The Last Picture Show.
Yeah. Texas.
Okay, The Last Picture Show. But anyway, among the films this man directed were It Conquered the World, Attack of the Crab Monsters, The Saga of the Viking Women and Their Voyage to the Waters of the Great Sea Serpent, The Pit and the Pendulum, The Raven, The St. Valentine's Day Massacre, Bloody Mama, Frankenstein Unbound, and perhaps his most famous film, Little Shop of Horrors. Don't know yet, huh?
Norm Gorman?
But you're very close.
Corman?
Yep, you got the last name.
Okay. The R.
Richard.
Roger Corman.
Roger Corman.
Yes.
All right, crickets.
You don't know who Roger Corman is?
Did you hear me say crickets?
Oh my God, you are so provincial.
Okay.
Well, I
can't
the list of movies that you rattled off there's a couple of them I have seen.
Yeah, me too.
That are, you know, like,
yeah, they weren't necessarily good.
No, it's something you'd see on Sven Gulli.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But he received the David O. Selznick Award from the Producers Guild of America in 2006.
What's the O stand for?
I have no idea. In 2006, his film, The Fall of the House of Usher, was selected for preservation in the National Film Registry. And the National Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences gave Corman an honorary Oscar in 2009.
For what?
For all of his achievements in filmmaking. But he died at his home in California at age 98.
Vincent Price was in a lot of those films.
In the Edgar Allan Poe films, yep. Yeah. I think even Peter Lorre, too, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm much older than you, so that's why I remember those films.
Of course it is.
You're the child here, remember
that. I
yeah, some child.
It's what's keeping me here.
Yes.
So to Roger Corman, rest in peace. Thank you for your films.
Yeah, thank you for your films. What were they, like, Rat's Anus Escape? What were the list of his films?
I just said them.
I know, but you just thanked him for his artistic contribution, and I'd like to hear some titles covered under the umbrella of this thank you.
It Conquered the World.
Okay.
Attack of the Crab Monsters.
Keep going.
The Saga of the Viking Women and Their Voyage to the Waters of the Great Sea Serpent.
Now, we really don't need any more than that, but give me another one or two.
The Pit and the Pendulum.
Okay.
The Raven.
Okay.
That one was with Vincent Price.
Yep.
Okay.
St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yes, thank you for those.
And Little Shop of Horrors.
Thank you for those contributions.
And not the musical.
Not the musical.
Nope, the original film.
Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
Jack Nicholson played the plant.
No, he did not play the plant. He played the dental patient who was masochistic.
No, the doctor is masochistic.
No, the doctor is sadistic. The patient is masochistic.
Oh, you're right.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't he Seymour?
Nope, he was not Seymour. Seymour was another actor.
I beg to differ.
You want me to pull up a clip?
Well, not now.
We now move on to our next segment.
See, if we had, production, any sort of production values, that would have been pulled up already. Like, anything we've discussed, it would already be, represented.
Excuse me, as if I'm supposed to anticipate everything you're going to ask or want to know about.
You've done this for how many episodes
now? 116.
Only 116. Oh.
So we just heard Patsy and the Coconuts.
Yes, that means it's today in history.
Today in history. So shit happened today. May 1st, May 15th.
May 15th.
May 15th.
On May 15th, 1905, this city was founded.
Nome.
Nope.
What year?
1905.
Levittown.
No.
Good guess.
Any more?
No.
I'll give you a big hint.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
I'm gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn. So get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. And I'm just a devil with another spare. So
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Yes, it's Las Vegas, founded in 1905 on this day.
That's too bad.
Settlers began moving to that area in around 1844, and the Mormons established a fort there in 1855, the remains of which can still be seen today. The city was incorporated in 1911. In 1931, Nevada legalized gambling and reduced the residency requirement for divorce to 6 weeks. So that helped draw people to Las Vegas. Plus, also the Hoover Dam was under construction at that time, so that helped draw workers to moving into the city.
It's right there in the desert where they do all the nuclear tests.
Yes, nuclear tests were done not too far from Vegas at the time.
Good for them.
And, of course, a big driving force behind the development in Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Strip was Bugsy Siegel.
Of course, Bugsy Siegel.
Yes.
Isn't that the main drag? Isn't that the...
Well, it's the Las Vegas Strip.
But isn't it called Bugsy Siegel Avenue?
No. No, it's not.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't either. I've never been there.
So that's it. Happy birthday to Las Vegas.
Yay, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas would have a birthday, too. It's like, it's just that kind of attitude. Like, she'd be that bitch with the sash going into, other cities and, oh, my God, I'm 21. I'm Las Vegas. Me and my girl. Yeah. So obnoxious.
The huge feathers.
So obnoxious.
Anyway, we now move on to our next segment.
What day is it? Could you please tell me? What day is it? I've got to
know this one.
Yes, a star for what day is it?
Cotton Swab Day.
No.
Okay. You jump in with if you know. Do you know what?
I have no idea. It's May 15th. The Ides of May.
May 15th, it would be the Ides of May. That's true. May 31 days?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So, yeah, it would be the Ides of May.
No.
Okay. Cheese Day in Bucharest.
I have a guess. Only because of the topic of upcoming.
Okay.
Police officer affection day or something?
It's along those lines, yes. Because today is the Peace Officers Memorial Day.
Okay.
And it's an observance in the U.S. that pays tribute to local, state, and federal peace officers who have died or been disabled in the line of duty. It was signed into law by President John F. Kennedy in 1962.
Okay.
They should at least get a day.
They deserve a day. Shit. If you know, belly button lint gets a day, then certainly, you know, fallen police officers get a day.
Certainly. So, here's to those fallen police officers.
Yeah.
Here, here.
Here, here.
Thank you for your service.
See, that's where you say thank you, Patrick. It's not after some B-rate movie fucking director putting out, like, The Fly's Testicles, the movie. Okay? That's how you say thank you.
Flies testicles.
Flies have testicles, don't they?
I've never looked that closely at a fly.
Have you ever smelled mothballs? How'd you get those little legs apart?
Yeah.
You're a wit, a nitwit. But it's not only Peace Officers Memorial Day.
It wouldn't be. It would have to be more than that.
Yes, it is.
Yes, that's something uplifting.
Yes, it is National Chocolate Chip Day.
Good.
And look what we're eating.
That's a good one.
Oh,
we're eating chocolate chip cookies.
Which could be true on any Wednesday.
But chocolate chip cookies were invented in 1937 when Ruth Graves Wakefield of the Toll House Inn in Massachusetts added cut-up chunks of a semi-sweet Nestle chocolate bar to her cookie recipe. And then the cookies were a huge success, and then Wakefield reached an agreement with Nestle in 1939 to add her recipe to the chocolate bar's packaging in exchange for a lifetime supply of chocolate.
Really?
Not a bad deal, right?
No, that's a shitty deal right there.
Initially, Nestle included a small chopping tool, the chocolate bars. But then in 1941, they started selling the chocolate in chip form. And that was the first time that bakers began making chocolate chip cookies without having to chop up the chocolate first. Yes. That's a tongue twister.
Like what?
A tongue twister.
Is that what you said?
Yes, that's what I said. So, happy National Chocolate Chip Day.
Okay. Somehow you ruined it.
I did?
Well.
How did I ruin it?
I don't know.
You can't ruin a good chocolate chip.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
We now move into our next segment, wherein we turn our head and cough. What the hell was that?
I would say something along the nasal.
Well.
Drip.
Oh, my God. Drip. Sounded like a retarded machine gun.
Could have been that.
Anyway, in Turn Your Head and Cough today, a large-scale review was published yet today in a journal called Plus One, which analyzed diet studies from 2000 to 2023. And it examined the health effects of either vegetarian or vegan diets. And they found that both eating patterns were associated with a lower risk of cancer and heart disease. Also reduced the risk of prostate cancer and gastrointestinal cancer and colon cancer and cardiovascular disease.
Still not going to be a vegan.
Nah, I'm too much of a carnivore.
Yeah. I like vegetables.
I like some vegetables.
I could leave off vegetables.
But
I need cheese. Like, I'm not going vegan. Fuck you. I need things like cheese.
Well, the doctors say that you don't have to go completely vegetarian or vegan, that even if you change your diet once or twice per week, that would make a difference.
Well, that I do.
Right? But one of the doctors said a healthy plant-based diet should consist mostly of whole grains, fruits, vegetables, nuts, soy, beans, and non-hydrogenated plant oils.
I ain't eating soy.
You don't like soy?
Fuck you, soy.
I used to drink soy milk.
I know. That's what my point about. You can have a soy turkey. You can have soy milk. You can have soy beans. You can have a soy Volkswagen bug. You can have a soy turkey. No.
Right out.
No, you don't like soy either?
No soy.
Soy sauce.
No tofu.
That's not quite the same thing.
No, it's not.
No tofu, said? Tofu. Why don't you like tofu?
Tofu is like rubber.
I've never eaten tofu, so I wouldn't know.
Tofu's like, no.
Yeah, no. Any of that.
Although I will say the plant-based hamburger, the Whopper at
Impossible Burger.
Okay.
It is good.
Yeah.
It is good.
It's a non-meat burger, right? Yeah. I don't know if I'd like that or not.
Give me the runs.
You wouldn't know this. You really wouldn't notice the difference.
No.
That's what surprised me. I had to try one.
No, I have to tell you, that's true. Until I was peeing out of my ass, I really hadn't tasted the difference between one Whopper and the other. It was the one that sent me to the toilet with no time to spare.
They can do that.
Yeah. That was the Impossible Burger experience. So if you eat it while you're in the bathroom, they have no
saves you the trip.
No worries. No worries.
I wouldn't ask Burger King to be a sponsor of yours.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Everyone just skip by that right now.
Have it your way. Yeah. All the way to the bathroom.
Oh, no. Have your way, but be prepared.
Pay the consequences.
Yes. It is.
Wear a butt plug.
That would be prepared.
Yes, it would be.
Make sure there's no line.
Then it comes then. The Impossible Burger hits you anyway, and now you got a lawsuit because your butt plug dented a Mercedes Benz.
I'd like to see that happen.
I bet you would. What's happening?
Nothing yet.
Tell me what's.
Working on it.
What's next?
I guess we're going to move on to our next topic, wherein we take a look into my briefs.
That's like the ringing in my ears.
It's the perfect sound effect.
It is.
Right?
But it's the ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
And today's look into my briefs, we have an update from something we discussed last week.
I love these updates. You know why? Because I have no idea what the fuck we discussed last week.
Well, we talked about Louisiana and how some people had sued about the new congressional map,
which created
two black majority districts.
And the white people were feeling left out.
Yes, they were feeling it hurt their feelings, basically.
It hurt their feelings.
Yeah. Well, they filed an emergency petition, the top Republican elected officials and black voters who brought the suit, and the Supreme Court ordered Louisiana to hold congressional elections this year using the new map.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
They didn't comment on the merits of the case. Right. They just said, you're using the new map, and that's it.
Okay.
And you'll see how it goes.
Yep. So good for the Supreme Court.
They
did one good thing.
Another good punt.
Well, that's
no, this is going to be back.
Well, it's going to be back eventually. Yeah. Eventually.
This is the state Supreme Court, not the federal Supreme Court.
Right? No, this is the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, good for them.
Yeah, because two federal courts had originally ruled on it. One had created the district or said that the legislator has to create a new map.
Oh, okay.
Which created the second black majority district.
Right.
Then it went to another federal judge when these white plaintiffs sued, saying that the map hurt their feelings.
Yes.
So that's why it ended up before the Supreme Court in an emergency petition.
They did something right.
Right?
At least for the time being.
Yeah. So that was some good news. Then we move a little bit over to Texas.
Oh, Texas.
Where a Texas man is petitioning the court to authorize this obscure legal action to find out who helped his former partner obtain an out-of-state abortion.
Hold on.
That's a lot.
So he wants Texas to say that he can identify, or he wants them to help him identify who helped his girlfriend get an abortion?
That's basically what he wants. He requested what is called a Rule 202 hearing, which they usually file in a lawsuit when the illegal activity is suspected.
Okay.
So if the court approved this, it would allow the man to seek any kind of documentation related to the procedure and or the women and the others accused of helping her to sit for depositions.
Okay, so what was the result?
Well, the problem is that the Texas law does not provide any kind of punishment for seeking an out-of-state abortion.
Okay.
It does provide enforcement procedures for abortions within the state. Abortions are pretty much banned in the state.
Right.
But it's never addressed out-of-state abortions. So basically, this guy wants the state to say that this covers out-of-state abortions as well.
Oh. And what did they say to him?
Well, it hasn't happened yet. Okay. That's what's going on right now.
Well, keep us updated.
I will keep you updated, that's for sure. Then we had some good news here in Nassau County.
Is this Nassau County?
Nassau County, the one we live in.
No, you live in.
Oh, I'm sorry. You live in Suffolk County.
We live in Suffolk
County. You two live in Suffolk County. Excuse me.
It's like pines in the grove. You know what I'm saying?
Two different birds. But anyway, a New York State Supreme Court judge struck down an executive order from County Executive Bruce Blakeman, which prohibited the use of Nassau County facilities by teams and leagues which allowed transgender girls or women on their teams or leagues.
Hold on. That's another big one. So they want you to not be able to rent your space to people who do that with the women thing.
Well, they wouldn't allow teams who have transgender women on their teams to use their facilities.
At all ever. Amen.
Yep.
Not allowed to rent to those people.
Right.
Okay.
So the judge, his name is Francis Rosigliano. I'm at the law school with him, by the way. He issued an order saying that the county executive acted beyond the scope of his authority and that he could not act without corresponding action by the Nassau County Legislature. Basically saying he needs the legislature's authorization
to do that.
Make it a law and we'll do it.
And the chances of that are happening are probably pretty slim.
Well, it's a beastly thing.
Yeah, it is a beastly thing.
It's a horrible thing.
But here's to the Long Island Roller Rebels who brought that lawsuit.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yep. Our friend Indy Johnson is on that team.
Go, bitches, go.
Right? So good for them. That was great news. Then, not so good news in Mississippi.
Oh.
Where the governor signed a law called the Securing Areas for Females Effectively and Responsibility Act.
I read that.
Also known as the SAFER Act. That. Which mandates that single-sex restrooms, changing areas, and dormitories in state public schools must be based on sex assigned at birth. It prohibits transgender people from using facilities that align with their gender identity, and non-compliance can potentially lead to lawsuits, although the law protects schools from being sued. Isn't that nice?
That's crazy.
Well, this follows when the federal government announced new Title IX protections, which is part of issued by the Department of Education, which included the right of trans and non-binary students to use the bathrooms that correspond with their gender identities, and explicitly prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. So this is already conflict.
Right.
But Mississippi is also one of at least 22 states that are suing the federal government over these new regulations.
The country's too big.
The country's too big. They believe that. That's who they are. That's what they believe. That's the society they want to live in.
Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, West Virginia, your Louisiana there, certainly your Alabama.
Yep. That sounds about right.
So that's the people, they want to live that way. Because the fact of the matter is, if trans people were given all the rights as everybody else, well, all the rights that they should have, all the rights that they deserve, nobody's life would change an iota.
Of course not.
Nobody's life would change.
Of course not. But this is the same shit that gays and lesbians went through 30, 40 years ago, you know? It's just, history's repeating itself.
I was there. You were there, John. God damn.
Damn. I remember when.
Yeah, you were old even then.
Tommy's so old, the first Stonewall he remembers is Stonewall Jackson.
No, I remember the wall, the China Wall.
Oh, the Great Wall.
The Great Wall, right. I was like, hey, guys, this is great.
The wall.
And that, look at this fucking wall. Look at
they want to do it.
Holy shit.
They all hate that.
Yeah. Look at this. Well, they can, they'll never get it together, but. Great wall, guys, really.
Yeah.
Really. Really great.
Let's take a walk on it.
Oh, no.
So that's how it got named.
Yeah, good to know. Thank you for that little historical anecdote.
Anything I can do.
And then lastly, we have the continuing trial of Donald Trump.
Oh, here we go.
And this week, of course, the star witness for the prosecution, Michael Cohen, took the stand.
And what do we think? As a lawyer, as a legal professional, as somebody who passed the bar exam.
It's a tricky witness.
Did you pass the bar exam?
Yes, I did.
The New York bar exam?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so what happened here?
Anyway, I think he's going to be a tricky witness for the jury because he's an admitted liar and perjurer. He's now making money off of attacking Trump.
Right, so he has skin in the game.
Yeah. But he also, everything he has testified about has been verified by other documents and corroborating witnesses.
Before he even sat down. They set him
up. They set it all up for him then to take the stand.
And now you can sit down and say, yeah, this guy's a douchebag. And you're going to hear a lot about his douchebagginess.
Yeah.
But this is what happened.
I mean, he made it clear that Trump wanted to hide the story because of the election campaign.
Yeah,
it wasn't protect his family. He didn't care about that.
What? You don't give a fuck? Are you kidding? Where is she? Her husband is running for president and is currently a criminal defendant, and she has not been seen. Has any, like,
Barron has?
Yeah. Because they almost picked him to be a delegate.
Well, that's exactly right, because he rejected.
And now they're saying he's not going to be a delegate.
He's not going to be, but some of the other family members are, except the two that were so behind him.
Well, Junior and Eric.
Yeah.
The
daughter either.
Oh, Ivanka?
Ivanka.
I don't know if she's going to be.
She's not.
She's washed her
hands. I think the other two will be. They invited.
And Laura Trump is the co-chair. So.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
Michael Cohen testifying in the Trump trial.
Michael Cohen. My sister said to me today, like, how do we feel about him? Like, is he a douchebag in general? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And I kind of said, he went out and did the bullying, that, you know, I'll break your kneecaps type of thing, $4. So, yeah.
He was the next best thing to Roy Cohn.
Right.
Yeah, but he fashioned himself into that because that's what Trump wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's an expert.
He's not doing anything to put that downplay that either.
I don't think he's jeopardizing the case that they have against Trump.
Mm-hmm. I just find it, you know, the judge gagged Trump, so he can't say anything nasty about any of the witnesses.
Yeah.
But the witnesses are doing some pretty mean shit to Trump. Not that I'm a Trump supporter. Don't get me into that. I hate the man. But, you know, the judge should probably tell the witnesses, you know, cut it out while we're doing the trial.
Evidently, he has no control over witnesses.
I know.
What he can do is tell the prosecution, which he did do, tell your witnesses, shush. And he did that. And Michael Cohen did that. I'm amazed. This judge, man, he is the shit. he's fucking good. Amazing.
He's good. Good.
Trump ain't said word one.
And he won't testify either.
Yeah, he won't testify.
There's no way. No. He won't. He'll do all his bullshit outside of court, but there's no way he's going to go on the stand.
There's no way his lawyers are going to allow it. There's no way he's going to go.
Yeah.
But I was all excited about something, and you were louder than me, so we talked about your thing instead of mine, and now I don't remember what mine was. But it was good.
So it's my fault.
It's always my fault. It's about Trump. Can we rewind? Now, that's hard to say.
Rewind?
Can we rewind?
Can we rewind?
So
we were talking about Melania, how she's not around.
She's been nowhere around. Now he's got people there.
Well, Cohen did mention her in his testimony when they were talking about the Entertainment Tonight video audio tape.
Locker room talk.
And they were talking about how to address it. And he said that Melania suggested that they just describe it as locker room talk.
Which indicates that she is in on the whole thing. I'm very touch and go when it comes to her. She exhibits traits of a bunch of different type of people. Certainly the opportunistic, you know, gold digger, mama bear. You ain't heard nothing about that kid. I'm sorry.
Oh, Barron?
Barron. I don't know where he goes to school. I know that he got permission to go to his graduation. That Trump got permission to go to his son's graduation, which he complained he didn't have. And when he was given the permission to go to his son's high school graduation, he didn't go. And he went somewhere else instead.
No, he went.
No, he didn't. He
went and did a campaign.
He went to a campaign event. So I don't know. She's a mystery to me. I think she is ice. She is just ice.
She got what she wanted. She got the millions, and she got a kid out of the marriage.
She got her family over here. She had her kid, which is going to tie her to that money for the rest of her life,
mm-hmm.
for sure. She ain't going anywhere unless Barron gets everything that every one of those other fucks. And probably, you know what? He deserves more just for the White House years. Just for living in the White House.
Right.
Kids, like, you know what I'm saying?
Did he spend a lot of time there, though? I thought he spent Barron? A lot of time in New York.
I don't think he did. Well,
I thought he was in New York.
He was wherever she was, is my impression. Certainly when Trump moved down there in March of 2017, he did not go with his wife and family. They stayed up here until he graduated from high school, before he graduated from school.
Yeah.
Well, to finish the year.
Right.
But she fascinates me. She absolutely fascinates me.
There'll be a movie about her or something.
But I don't know. Like, are they going to get to what made her such a, like...
We're married to him. Wouldn't you be that way?
I don't know. Why doesn't she leave? Is she not humiliated? Does it not matter to her? Does
ka-ching, it, ka-ching. Does, yeah, that's what it's all about.
On the other hand, is every conviction worth another $100,000 to her? You know what I mean? If she stays,
what's it going to have left? Then?
I'd love to know what that deal is, because she fascinates. On one hand, I think she's just as guilty as the rest of them are, and that proves it. Is when
guilty by her silence.
Well, no, but when she actually said, "Call it
locker room talk." Yep.
How complicit is she?
Guess we'll have to wait to find out.
She's no Eleanor Roosevelt, I'll tell you that.
We now move on to our next segment.
How about a little round of Get the Guests? Well, how about that? How about a little game of Get the Guests?
Yes, it's time to play Get the Guest with our guest and friend, John Steele.
Hi, everyone.
So, John, what have you been up to lately?
Not a hell of a lot. As you know, I've been retired. And I finished directing Bus Stop.
Yes, I was in South Shore Theater Experience.
God. Now, tell us what the fuck that play is, The Bus Stop. Now, there's no spoiler alerts because nobody's going to go fucking see it like the last time you were here. It's this one stop on this long, lonely road.
The bus gets trapped there because of the weather.
Okay.
Passengers come into the diner, and it's all the little conflicts.
And where are the passengers coming from? Where did the bus originate?
The bus came from Kansas City.
And is going to?
Topeka.
Oh, so they don't leave Kansas.
Yes, they left Kansas. They were in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, sorry.
And that's a thing, and the thing, you Westerners don't know anything west of the Hudson.
All right, yeah, that's true. All right.
Okay.
It's hugely famous. It spawned how many careers? People keep going back to it.
It's from 1955.
I mean, and it's William Ng.
Yep.
Who also wrote
Picnic.
Yeah, which is another one of those things. It's like people keep going back to. It's like the Americana of it.
They're good dramas.
Is that what it is? Like, what's the drama? What's the conflict in Bus Stop?
Well, this couple. There's four stories going on in the play.
Okay.
It's the Bo and Sherry.
The cowboy and the bar singer.
And his sidekick, Virgil.
Okay.
There's Grace, the diner owner, and she's having a thing with Carl, the bus driver.
Right, that makes sense.
And that starts at this play. It's nothing that has happened before. It happens there, then and there. There's Dr. Lyman, who is running, you don't know what from, but he has a thing for young ladies, and there's the waitress there.
Okay.
Young girls is more like it, yeah.
So there's a lot of little things going on.
All right. Okay. So it's like it could be any bus stop in any diner during any snowstorm.
And directing it, the hardest thing is to make the transitions from one conversation to the other.
That was
the challenge of it. Anyway, so that's what I did.
Okay, good for you.
And then I haven't been doing much of anything else because I am retired. I go and I sing with the chorus, which is why I'm here tonight.
Yes, you're very active with the Long Island Gay Men's Chorus.
Yes, and we rehearse every Wednesday night, so that's why I can't join you more often. But
that's too bad.
Our musical.
I would use you as a co-host, bitch. I would call out like.
But our musical director, Jeanette Cooper, is busy with another project tonight. So we had our rehearsal Monday. So I said, called Patrick and said, you need a guest spot.
Come plug the concert. What is it? So, tell me.
All right. Our June concert is called Jukebox Saturday Night.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. We're doing songs that you would find in a jukebox if you can find a jukebox
anymore. But it sort of implies a 50s, 40s, 50s.
We cover a lot.
Okay.
Some of the numbers are written by the Beatles, the Village People, John Denver, Neil Diamond, Whitney Houston, ABBA.
No more fucking ABBA.
ABBA is fine. One or two songs every hour or so.
We got one.
Okay, that's fine. That's fun.
That's the big one.
It's fun, identically. It'll be fun. It's 2.5 hours of ABBA that makes me want to pour acid in my ears.
Yes,
go ahead.
Okay.
With a bad story.
And then something from Queen.
Excellent.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, okay. This is from Patrick over there.
Tears for Fears.
Oh, my God.
Billy Joel.
Okay.
You're on the road. Then we do we have a medley of the Boys, all the boy band stuff.
Oh, fun.
And then we have one for the 80s that are all girl tunes, like The Warrior.
Okay.
I can't think of what her name is. Cindy Lauper.
Do you play Nick Jonas?
No.
Who plays Nick Jonas?
I don't think we have one of theirs. That's a little too modern for
Justin Timberlake.
We have that.
You have a Justin. You have a. Well, he was Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, Backstreet Boys. I forget.
He was NSYNC.
Was he NSYNC?
Yeah, he was NSYNC.
I think they're in there too.
That's fantastic.
But that's our main thing is the rock and roll stuff.
The rock and roll stuff.
Yeah.
That's your main thing.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing Tennessee Ernie Ford. 16 ton.
Oh no.
16 ton.
Oh my god.
Is this the Pride is this like the Pride concert?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So tell us when.
All right,
tell
well,
us
we
how.
Have three regular concerts that we're doing this year. The first one's Friday, June 7th, and that's at the Cathedral of the Incarnation in Garden City.
In Garden City. That's holy shit, place. You bitches are singing in the cathedral?
Yeah, yeah.
The fuck out.
We sound good, don't we?
Yes, they do. We heard them there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm with no offense to you or your group, I could go in there after Taco Bell, and it would sound beautiful.
It would.
Holy shit, wow, yeah. That's a big fucking deal. Yeah.
But one of the songs I'm looking forward to doing there is Turn Around, Look at Me. It's just one of those light, airy love songs.
Yeah, it's going to drift away. Oh, God. All right, that's a big deal. That's a big fucking deal.
And then we have Saturday. Oh, that concert's at 8 p.m. Then we have Saturday, June 8th. That's at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship at Stony Brook.
Okay.
And we perform there every
time. That place, there's a place in Belmore you hit very often.
Yeah, we're not doing Belmore this year.
You're not doing Belmore this year. All right.
Season, aww.
So. Okay, that's...
But,
you got this Garden City gig, which is... I'm so happy for you. That's amazing.
Well, we're not doing the city quite yet.
Garden City.
Garden City, yeah.
With, you know, the cathedral.
Right.
That's awesome.
And then the UU, as we call it in the chorus, so everyone knows where we're going. We're going to the UU. But we perform there every time we've had a concert, we perform there.
What's the UU?
It's the Universal
Unitarian
Church.
That's the one of Stony Brook.
Stony Brook.
All right. There's another one. I know there is.
Yep. There's one more. It's Sunday, June 9th, which is...
So it's all over one weekend.
Yep. That June 9th is also the Pride Parade in Huntington.
Okay.
And the chorus has this year been asked to be the Community Grand Marshals.
Okay.
So we're going to be in the parade.
Are you performing at the parade also?
You absolutely. Why they don't perform at every fucking parade?
Well,
is
so. But we are performing in the park.
Okay,
that's
and
awesome.
We're going to have a booth.
Heckscher Park. Well.
Heckscher Park.
I love that park.
And then at 5:30 that same evening, we're down at St. John's Church.
Aren't you a bunch of old guys?
No, actually, no.
Four performances in one weekend? That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, and then the following week, on the 15th, we'll be in Northport for their
nice event. Nice. Oh, so you are doing the Pride events.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
So that's our big thing. You can get the tickets online. You go to LIGMC, Long Island Gay Men's Chorus, .com. And...
It's not a .org? Why isn't it a .org,
it
bitch?
Is .org. I'm sorry.
He said it wrong.
Long Island.
LIGMC.org.
.org. Yes.
LIGMC.
And then $25 for the concert.
All right. How much is it to get into the Garden City one?
$25.
Yep. They're all $25.
All $25.
Just to be in that place. The place is gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, it's a cathedral.
And they've done a lot of remodeling.
Have they?
Well, that. Updating.
I haven't been actually in that building since I was in high school. So, what was that? 13, 14...
22?
Yeah, something like that. 85. anyway, so, but it's a beautiful building. We did a concert in there, and it's, God, that's such a great opportunity.
That I'm place. Looking forward to it.
We were there for the chorus's Christmas concert.
Oh, my God. A Christmas concert?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was gorgeous, except for these two people in the audience.
Yeah.
They, like, I guess came in an intermission, or we just noticed them in intermission, and they were, like, sitting on the side. And before you know it, they moved, like, a row or two in front of me and Steven. And the concert starts again, and they're busy talking the whole time that they're singing. Finally, someone tells them to shh.
It was Steven.
No, it wasn't. I don't know if it was Steven or not.
It was Steven.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It was Steven.
They finally got quiet, and then the woman of the two was a woman and a man. The woman
spends the rest of her the concert looking at her phone.
Who cares?
It's like, why did you come here in the first place?
So long as they're quiet, who cares? It's like kids. So long as they're quiet, who cares?
It's annoying.
Kids,
no, what they weren't kids. Is that, but at least be respectful enough to engage in your own activity quietly.
Well, they weren't respectful until they were shushed.
Well, so you have to shush people.
Yep.
But yeah, I have no problem with her on her phone. I don't. I really don't.
I think it's rude.
It is. Oh, it's absolutely rude. But it's not interrupting anybody else. So long as it's not. On the other hand, when you sit in an auditorium and turn the phone on and look at a phone, anybody on the stage can see now your face lit up. Yeah. We live in a complicated time.
Yes, we do.
People thought like the Middle Ages were rough, like knights and... This is rough.
Whatever happened to class?
Class.
What, you know they cut that song?
From Chicago?
They cut it for the high school shows, for the high school edition.
Why? It's a great song.
It's a great fucking song.
Right.
He was so smart. What's his name? Fred Ebb. Fred Ebb, you would no help for me there, John Steele.
I wasn't.
No help.
No.
So didn't the chorus just have a drag fundraiser brunch?
We did. We had a brunch at the VFW in Sayville. They're great supporters of ours. They let us come into their establishment and do all this tomfoolery. It was the drag cabaret.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
And you maybe want to cut around this.
Okay.
Is that the same VFW that Scott and Joe had the Halloween party?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. Yep. Same one.
Okay.
They're great folks there.
Okay.
They really are. They let us come in. We get there like 3 hours, 4 hours before the start. Bring in the lights and set up the whole stage and move the tables where we want them.
Yeah.
And they're very helpful. Anytime we need something, they're there. But yeah, we, that was called, I don't know. They call it the Platinum Brunch.
Okay.
Trying to sound fancy.
Yeah, I guess.
You got drag queens in that?
Yeah, there were four drag queens. There was Tony Holmper.
A creative drag name to me is like you gain 10 points. You get a head start just for a good name.
And Bella Virgin.
No.
Alexis Flame.
Okay.
And Tomcat.
I was
Tomcat does a marvelous B. Arthur.
Oh God!
To the T.
Oh no!
Tell me, he tells a story about the ladle.
Oh no!
Do you know the story about the ladle?
No.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. Okay. So B. Arthur tells a story. Okay. She has a friend who invites his mother over to their apartment to have dinner. And during the dinner, she notices that the son's roommate, Michael, is very handsome. And they're very attentive to each other. And the night goes on, and they seem more and more at ease with each other and her. And she goes home. And a week later, Michael comes to him and says, "The soup ladle is missing. And it's been missing since your mother was here. Would you write her a letter and see?" So imagine this is B. Arthur.
Right.
Okay, so it's much lower pitched. He writes a letter to his mother. "Mom, I'm not saying you took the soup ladle. I'm not saying you didn't take the soup ladle. But nevertheless, since you've been here, the soup ladle is gone. Love, your son." A day later, they get a note back. "Dear son, I'm not saying you do sleep with Michael, and I'm not saying you don't sleep with Michael. But the fact is, if Michael had been sleeping in his own bed, you would have found the soup ladle 2 weeks ago." And that's to hear her tell that story is just such a great story. Oh, wait. God, it's coming back to me. A super drag queen told that story to her. Okay, keep going. You two keep talking. Let me do some independent study over here by myself.
You do that.
Okay. So the chorus.
Yeah, back to the chorus.
We sang four numbers during the production.
Did you perform in drag?
No, I did not.
Oh.
not for this one. I might do it again at some point. But
hold on, I shouldn't say. Am I going to poop? Yeah, I love it.
Well, anyway, we did four numbers, and they were platinum numbers. That's why
Okay, I don't understand what that means.
They're platinum sales.
Oh, okay. Platinum. But isn't the event name Platinum?
That's why we did those numbers.
Okay.
But what the ladies were performing...
had nothing to do with Platinum.
That they all wore blonde wigs. So.
Okay.
But anyway, so that was that. It was a fun time.
Good. Drag queens are usually a hoot.
My judgment about it was a good product, a good show, a good time. There are ways as a director or a producer watching it, I could have cut it down so we weren't there almost 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long show. Yeah. Jeez.
That was long.
What were the tickets like?
$30.
$30.
And you get the brunch.
For the drag brunch with this entertainment.
Yeah.
That went off for 4 hours.
Yeah,
you don't need it.
So you could just cut it down. We don't pay the drag queens to come perform.
Okay.
We ask Tony, and then Tony finds the other queens to come.
Tony Holmperm.
How old is that bitch?
I don't know.
She's been around like...
No, she's... I would say he's in his late 40s, Tony. I don't know.
Okay, maybe
he sang with the chorus. He sang, and that like the first time he ever did drag was when he was in the chorus, and we had a drag.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah. So
I think Tony Holmperm is a name that has come, like, hit peak in the 70s and 80s, the late 70s, when the Tony Holmperm.
That's where he got the
name. Was actually from. Exactly. All right. So where are we now?
So that's like the day after they had a number. They passed the tip bucket.
Okay.
But they took their time going from table to table with the bucket, and then they do another number.
Oh, my God.
Goes to the table to table with the bucket.
For each drag queen?
For each one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And they perform more than once.
I understand. So, I understand that it's their business and that they deserve to be paid, and I'm all about that. But if you're going to pass a bucket in between each single performance.
My take on it, I would have had someone from the chorus walk around with a bucket during the numbers. And if you wanted to tip, just throw it in the bucket then.
I love that idea.
Or just put the bucket up in front.
And let them come up.
Come on up and you know,
throw the money in. Right. You should do both of those things.
But
put a bucket into the... John Steele, you're an administrator.
Well, I try. But no, that's how I would have done it.
And did you speak up and did you say, hey, bitches, listen to me?
We spoke about it afterwards. We learned from our experience.
See, a post-mortem is so fucking important, and nobody does them.
No, we do. We always talk about the success, what worked, what didn't work, so we don't do it again if it doesn't work.
But ain't a theater company in Long Island I ever heard of do a post-mortem about what the fuck they just did.
No.
It's so important. Who came? Why did they come?
Why did we have all these new people?
Exactly. Who, you know, yeah.
Where did they hear?
How did the production suck? Where did it come in? How did we do that thing? And can we do that again? That
should happen more often.
It should.
But anyway, that's what the chorus has been doing.
Oh, wow, man. That was a long get your guest.
Yeah. Whose fault was that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The guest.
John, I'm sorry. I showed interest. I shared stories.
You went off on tangents.
Not major ones. Not major ones.
I told a great fucking B. Arthur story.
You did.
I think I even told it right.
Would have been better if B. Arthur told it.
Of course it would, but she's dead, isn't she, Patrick? And Patrick, what would you think it would take for you to get B. Arthur herself, even if she was alive, to come sit in this room in Farmingdale to talk to you?
Just a phone call. Just a phone call.
That's all it takes.
At the end, you're probably not wrong.
Anyway, this concludes part one of our episode. Now stay tuned for part two.